2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Father, thank you for the opportunity tonight to meet around thy word, and we just thank you for the revelation of yourself to us, and now the opportunity to study it. And I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would enable me to make it practical, to make it plain, and I pray that you would work in our hearts to draw us closer to yourself, give us a better understanding of how to apply these things to our daily lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 says, "All scripture is given by God, inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Now, our doctrine as Christians and as Baptists includes this basic belief. The Bible is our sole rule of faith and practice. Now, what does that mean, our sole rule of faith and practice? That means it is the only standard to which our beliefs and our actions should most necessarily conform. That is, the Word of God, which is given by inspiration of God, so it tells us about its source, it tells us a little bit about the scope of its effect, it's good for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, but it also talks about its result, that the man of God may be pleased. No, that's not the text, because it doesn't totally matter whether I'm always happy. My chief goal as a Christian isn't happiness. It's godliness. I guess we could put it that way. It's this, in this verse, perfection. Now, this word perfect means mature. So our goal as believers and the end to which Scripture itself can bring us is maturity. So it makes sense that we would regularly be studying this word that produces maturity. The Bible is, if you will, our source of spiritual food or nutrition. And there are certain verses of Scripture that are built on that idea. Look at 1 Peter, over to your right just a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter 2. He writes, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Now, the primary thing that he's dealing with in that verse is our desire, our hunger, that we ought to have a hunger. We ought to desire the word of God. Why? That we might grow and become mature. Another verse along this line of built on the nutrition and food idea, Hebrews chapter 5, back to your left just a little bit, Hebrews 5, is actually found in a rebuke by the writer of Hebrews to his readers. Hebrews 5 and verse number 12, he says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So there ought to be a progression. While we might start off with milk, there ought to be a growth to maturity to where we can handle the meat of God's word. And then third, let me show you these two passages. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8, this not speaking to food, but I'll draw an application here. Proverbs 8 and verse 33. Proverbs 8 and verse 33. "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, says wisdom, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So if you find me, you get wisdom. Beloved, you get life. But if you actually hate wisdom, he says you love death. And so blessed is that person who's just so hungering for it that he's waiting at the posts of my doors. He just wants to learn more. Well, where do we go to learn that wisdom? We read in Proverbs about the call of wisdom, calling in obvious places. Now look in the New Testament at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Jesus saying here to some of his attackers in John 5 and verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they, that is the scriptures, are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. But that person who really wants wisdom and who wants to know the design of God and wants to compare his life to the rule given to us in Scripture, who's waiting at the posts of wisdom's doors to say, when you open the doors, I'm ready to learn. Where are they going to go? They're going to search the Scriptures, because it is in the Scriptures that God has revealed himself most explicitly. In other words, if we really want to know Jesus Christ and we want to best understand him the way he's revealed himself, we're not going to first go to an astronomy book, though God has revealed himself in creation. We're not going to go to a botany book and say, oh, but the plants tell us something about the orderliness of God. Because the Scripture is the clearest, most precise, if you will, presentation of who Jesus Christ is, has been preserved for us, and it is said that this book, that these Scriptures can make us mature. So we ought to be studying life, the life of Christ and his design in these Scriptures. Now, as we think about various facets of life that people learn and they grow in, over the years I've known that there are two very sensitive issues to people: music and dress. And I'm not surprised by that, because both of them are an expression of who people are. And so when you come to try to teach on the issue of music or dress, you're touching kind of close, and people may misunderstand you as not liking who they are or touching some part of what they just really, really like. But just here very recently, I kind of have come to see one other subject as kind of sensitive like that to people, and that is their diet, the way they eat. People are resistant to change because what I know is what I know, and that's how I operate, and there's a lot of information out there floating around, and so I'm not sure I really want to listen to you. Okay, tonight I want you to understand my heart as I go into this. I know we're at different levels of growth, and I hope you agree with me as we start out that the Bible is our nutrition. It's our spiritual food. And we want to grow to maturity. If we're on the same page there, understand that I'm not attacking where you're at. I'm trying to present to you a direction and a progress and help you to take the next step in your spiritual diet. So how do we go about eating healthy meals? How do we go about eating healthy meals? Well, first of all, and this isn't something that guys typically think about, because in homes, typically the lady takes care of the food department, but we need, number one, a plan for the week, a meal plan. Imagine if every time we were to eat, we went to the grocery store. Every time we ate a meal, we went into the grocery store again without a shopping list or a meal plan. What's most likely going to happen as we do that in those encounters? Well, we're going to rush into the store, and we don't really have a meal plan, and we just need something to eat right now. And so you know what's going to happen? Well, typically, we're going to gravitate to the same areas of the store all the time. Because they're the areas that we're comfortable with. We kind of like those foods. We know those foods. We generally know kind of what, how to put them together to make a meal. And in the process, we're going to pass by a lot of little intricate ingredients that really would be fun and would have a lot of flavor that might be really healthy, but we don't know how to prepare them. We don't really have a recipe for them. We're not really familiar with them, and we're just going to move on past them. And time again, we're going to go to the same area. Thus, our diet's going to be fairly limited, right? And it's going to be probably imbalanced because, again, we're going to always what we know and we're eating the same things over and over again. And most likely, the meals would be pre-made or processed foods because they don't take much time to prepare, and we're looking for a meal right now. Now, when we get up in the morning and we say, oh, okay, I need to read my Bible today. What am I going to read? What do we want right now? I need something to read my Bible right now, so I'm just going to, I'm going to go to the market, and I'm just going to open it up and just kind of say, what do I need? I need encouragement, Psalms, boom, I'm going to go to Psalms. I need a little motivation, and so I'm going to go to, oh, I need something on this. And maybe we're going to bounce in between four books of the Bible all the time. We're never going to choose Haggai, okay? We might go to Revelation if we're just sort of in a, you know, fun mood to kind of just read that kind of prophecy stuff. Isaiah, no. Genesis, a little boring. Matthew, yeah, same as kind of Mark, Luke, John. You know, I've read in John, and so you follow what I'm saying? We're going to bounce to the same place. We know Psalms is like the great motivator. I feel down. I'm discouraged. I need some help. I go to Psalms. But have we spent 9 months in Psalms, and do we know anything about the book of Obadiah? Okay. So here, that's what's going to happen. Now, laying out in advance, so a meal plan is what we need. Laying out in advance what is preferable and doable when we think about our meals, considering our schedule and our finances. We need to do some planning, too, when it comes to our spiritual food. Exercise some forethought to our Bible study. Maybe it's on Sunday, looking ahead to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then again the next Sunday, and saying, what direction do I want to take this week? What am I going to study? Now, a plan may look like something like a topic. You know, not that I necessarily feel like I need it right now, but one day I know that I'm really going to need grace. I just anticipate that one of these days I'm going to go through a hard time, and I'm going to want an intimate knowledge of what the grace of God is. And so I want to look up every verse that has the word grace in it. I'm not talking about in a day. I'm just saying this is the study that I'm kind of laying out. This is my plan. This is my meal plan. I'm gonna feast for a while on the subject of grace. And I'm going to look up verses. And I'm going to see what the Bible says about grace and who grace is given to and where grace comes from and the throne of grace and the spirit of grace and how God gives grace to the humble. And I'm going to study those things and think about them. That's going to be my diet for the next week. Now, maybe a plan will cover 2 days. Might be a verse. Maybe it'll cover 6 months. It might be a subject that you're really interested in. But it's a plan. It gives you a direction. It may be something like, I need to be a better husband and father, and so I'm going to begin studying passages that have something to do with leadership or parenting or my relationship with my wife. Or maybe your plan is, I want to read through the Bible in a year so that I get an overview of what each book of the Bible is about. Not a thorough knowledge, but at least I kind of get a grasp, I get a context of what the Scripture is all about. Maybe it's just, I want to meditate in Psalm 23 for a few days. Just take some time and just think through Psalm 23 and see how that applies to my life. I wonder if God says anything about this particular issue that came up in the news. You know, this thing's been a big thing recently. I wonder if the Bible says anything about that. Why don't I make that my meal plan? And I plan ahead and I say, I'm going to just spend a few days going in that direction. I'm not just going to wake up and go, oh, man, what do I need? I need to sit down because, you know, if I don't spend 20 minutes, I'm not spiritual, right? And God's not going to be pleased with me if I don't at least make some attempt to sit down and read my Bible and pray, right? Well, I think we misunderstand the love of God there. But the point is that if we're going to eat healthy and we're going to get a good balanced diet of Scripture, we need to start planning ahead and exercising a little bit of forethought. Now, the second thing that we're going to need, if you're taking notes, you may write these down. Number two is prep time. Prep time. That means you need some preparation. As much as I enjoy cooking, and I do, but when Heidi is gone with the kids, say, to Michigan, I often don't think much about eating until I'm hungry. And then it's a little late. Now the clock's really ticking. I got to find something that can be prepared fast. And like Pastor says, that's when you grab the burger out of the refrigerator, you eat it over the kitchen sink, you kind of wipe off your crumbs, and you walk away and keep doing what you were doing before. Men like the quick meals like that. The American Journal of Preventive Medicine published the results of a study on time spent on home food preparation and indicators of healthy eating. According to the article, quote, "Individuals who spent the least amount of time on food preparation tended to be working adults who placed a high priority on convenience. Greater amount of time spent on home food preparation was associated with indicators of higher diet quality, including significantly more frequent intake of vegetables, salads, fruits, and fruit juices. Spending less than 1 hour per day on food preparation was associated with significantly more money spent on food away from home and more frequent use of fast food restaurants compared to those who spent more time on food preparation." One conclusion was this: the findings indicate that time might be an essential ingredient in the production of healthier eating habits among adults. And that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you on a spiritual plane. That time is going to help you have a healthier diet in the Scripture. The time we spend in Bible study almost surely reflects the understanding that we have of the value of God's Word in our lives, or it reflects the priority we place on knowing Him and living according to His design. Can we truly say, oh, with all my heart, I want to know the Lord, and I've been spending a good 5-6 minutes every day or two? Really? Are we going to get a deep knowledge of the Word of God? Are we going to know Him? Are we going to understand His design if we're starving ourselves to death? I'm concerned that many Christians are not growing because of a diet that lacks some prep time. Now, foods that dissolve easily are good, okay, for a certain amount of time. They're good while we're learning to swallow, okay? We've got these rice rusks. I'm not sure why they call them a rice rusk. But anyway, these rice rusks for journey here. And here it is, just kind of a little cracker. And that's something that she can gnaw on, still with some supervision, but she kind of can gnaw on it, and it doesn't really have to chew. It begins to dissolve in her mouth. It becomes soft, but it gives her something to kind of clamp onto and just begin to get used to this idea of what eating is really about and how we do that. And that's good. It's a neat tool at this time. But naturally, we should grow to want more and be dissatisfied with those things. So today at lunch, when I put steak on Levi's plate for the second time, I say, that's good. Okay? That's enough. That's enough steak. Why? If I would have said, all right, buddy, here you go. Here's a rice rusk for you. Do you think he'd have been elated? He'd have been respectful. But he wouldn't have been elated. And that's natural. We would expect that. Oh, he's not going to want that now. Why? Because he's grown. Because he understands now the savor and the deliciousness of these foods that take more work to chew and that take the understanding of how to swallow. Baby food and starter foods are good for a time, but soon the senses should be exercised and one should be ready for meat and not milk. Okay, so here is the devotional life that lacks prep time, okay? Go to the grocery store. Let's see here. What are we gonna get here? We've got chicken soup for the soul, chicken soup for the beach lover soul, chicken soup for the cat lover soul. I have to get that for Pastor. Let's see here. Chicken soup for the African American woman's soul. I don't need that, probably. Let's see here. Chicken. Chicken soup for the girlfriend soul. No, I don't need that one. Chicken soup for the mother of preschooler soul. We'll get that one for Heidi. Chicken soup for the Latter-day Saint soul. All right. Chicken soup for the preteen soul. No. Chicken soup for the NASCAR soul. Tom, NASCAR. Chicken soup for the coffee love. Ooh, gross. No. Okay. Chicken soup for the scrapbooker soul. Okay. Chicken soup for the woman golfer soul. I don't need that. Chicken soup for the. Yeah, okay. Let's see. There was one other. Chicken soup for the romantic soul. Yeah, I'll have to set that one aside for later. But in the end, I probably say, you know, okay, chicken soup for the soul. I'm going to get me some chicken soup for the soul. I'm going to dump it here. Something I can kind of get up and prepare quickly. Somebody's prepared some, you know, motivation for me there. Then I'm just going to probably get to how to know God in 15 minutes a day. And to that, I'm going to add, you know what this is, a slice of my daily bread. And so I'm going to have chicken soup for the soul and a slice of daily bread and 15, how to know God in 15 minutes. Voila, I can sit down, I can do it fast, I can be kind of motivated and inspired, and there we go. That's a spiritual meal that lacks some preparation. Now, are tools good? Sure, tools are good. And we're going to talk about a problem with this in just a minute. Now look, the use of devotionals can be helpful. That's what I'm talking about here, devotionals. And by the way, there are over two, can I add this little caveat here, there are over 200 chicken soup for the soul titles, and they're not sold as Christian necessarily. I hope you know that. There is a subset of them that are called Christian. Every one that I read to you was a legitimate title. Okay? So anyway, I read one myself, and that particular one that I read was just weak and kind of terrible. Now, are devotionals helpful? Are there times that we need meals like this? Yes. Okay? I'm okay with that. Heidi has a baby, okay? Man, she's tired. She's exhausted. She gets home from the hospital. Is she ready to kind of dive into a 3- and 4-course meal and be standing all day in the kitchen? No. And am I going to do it? Probably not. So is it nice to have something quick and easy and ready to throw on the plate to keep us going, to give us something? I'll be honest with you, when Journey was born, I kind of got kicked out of a cycle of Bible study that I was in, and I struggled. And I feel like I could just kind of getting back on my feet, and she's, what, 8 or 9 months old. But I had, and during that time, one of the things I used was a devotional somebody had given me. At least it kind of, at least gave me a direction. It gave me something to read to know that I was still trying to engage in the mornings. I was trying to learn. I was still looking into the Word of God. It wasn't as deep and as systematic and as prepared as I wanted, but it was something. And they're good for certain periods of time. They're okay in a pinch. But can I tell you something? They're not going to grow a powerful Christian. They're not. I'm not arguing that there's no value in devotionals. But I wonder if you went on a trip and you forgot your devotional, would you know how to have a meaningful Bible study without it? Do you know how to study the Bible? Do you know how to look into it and get something without it being digested by somebody else first? Without it already being chopped up and prepared and some of the nutrients lost from a study that you could have done and kind of prepackaged for you, if it's not there already, do you know how to dive into Scripture yourself? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That is, be diligent, work to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, that was given to Timothy, but is it not an example to us as believers that we ought to be rightly dividing the word of truth and we ought to work to that end? Okay? Not work to find a devotional that's inspiring necessarily, where we hope that maybe somebody else rightly divided the truth for us, but actually looking into the Word of God ourselves and rightly dividing it. Eating is a process. And part of that process is preparation. But in our current society that values convenience and wants to finish the whole process quicker, we want processed foods. We live in a fast food nation. We don't want to peel and cook and mash the potatoes. We want to pour out the mix, add some water, stick it in the microwave, and voila, mashed potatoes that we didn't mash. Now look, saving time isn't the problem. I'm not arguing that things ought to take us longer all the time. I'm all for using tools that make things easier, but the problem is a loss of quality, a diminished nutritional value. In commercial processing, as I understand it, typically things have to be done to the food that sometimes destroy the nutrients that are in it, that kind of reduce it at times to just sort of a blob, particularly in the fast food industry. So now it would be really almost worthless. So here's what they have to do. Now they have to spend more money to put flavors in it so that it tastes like it used to taste like, and it looks like it used to look like before they processed it and zapped it of everything. What is it doing? It's degrading the product. Ingredients are added to restore original color, add flavor, fortify, and give a shelf life to the food after its original color, flavor, nutrients have been lost in the processing. You see it in our culture and in our grocery stores, but do you see it in our approach to the Scriptures? The sustenance of our very souls when we're dealing with the Scriptures. And again, I'm not saying that devotionals are wrong or that all devotionals are bad or that they don't have their place. But the point is that somebody else studied the Scripture first. They digest it in their own mind. They learn from it. And then they write some of those thoughts on the page and they give you a verse or two to read. You read it. You feel inspired. You go on. But have you really understood and broken down the Scriptures yourself? Have you really gained a greater context? Have you grown as much as you could have had you looked into Scripture yourself? Now you say maybe, Pastor Fox, I'm not there yet. Okay. I'm giving you a future. I'm giving you an ideal here. I'm giving you a direction. Number three. So number one, you need a meal plan. Look ahead and proactively with some forethought say, what do I want to study? And then put in some prep time. Okay. Number three, put it in your mouth. How do we eat spiritual meals? Just like we eat normal meals. Put it in your mouth. What good is a plan and the greatest quality food if we refuse to ingest it? It'll do us no good sitting on a plate. Oh, Pastor Fox, I bought me some good Bible study helps, you know, concordance and dictionary commentaries, and I got Bible study programs going to Greek and Hebrew. Yeah, it's great. Really, man, that's great. So what have you been studying recently? Well, I haven't really gotten to it. I've been too busy. What good is that? Okay, you're starving. Put it in your mouth. Number four, if portions are harder to chew, cut it in pieces. Studying a passage over time, maybe breaking it down even to a verse in a single study. You say, oh man, there's no way I could study the book of Hebrews. That's too big. Hebrews chapter 11, that's got what, 40-some verses in it? Okay. You didn't have to do it in a day. Break it down. Just study a little bit at a time. Chew it. Cut it in pieces. We know that we're removed from the writers of Scripture by nearly a couple thousand years. We live in a different culture. We read their works in a different language. We have to attempt to understand Scripture in its original context, and that's a big job sometimes. And attempting to bite off more than we can reasonably chew makes it hard to swallow. I understand that. This morning in my Bible study, I took a few minutes thinking about this concept in Ephesians chapter 6, thinking about fathering and leadership, but raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Well, the admonition of the Lord, that kind of makes sense, you know, what had the Lord admonished us to do, right? But the nurture of the Lord, what, What is the nurture of the Lord? What's the word nurture mean? It's not just raise them up in nurture. It's to raise them up in the nurture of the Lord. What's the Lord's nurture exactly? How does the Lord nurture? And I spent some time, just a little bit of time, just thinking about that. If it's big, though, cut it down to smaller pieces. Number five, eat slowly. Chew many times. You heard the old adage, how many times you're supposed to chew your food. Some foods up to 25, 30 times. You're supposed to chew that thing. It actually aids in your digestion. Do you know that your digestion, you say, oh, that's how it happens when that digestion is where the food is broken down into elements that my body can use for energy and for strength and for growth. Yeah, and so my stomach is what digests. No, did you know digestion actually starts right here? And the better you chew it, the more you help the digestion throughout the process to get more out of what you actually eat. Now, I've told some of you before, but my mom struggled with swallowing her food too fast as an adult, and she attributed that to the fact that as a child, she was often given 3 minutes to eat her oatmeal. If she stopped to chew the raisins, it would take her too long. Her poor brother would stop to chew the raisins, and he'd get punished. So what'd she learn to do? Swallow it. Stick it in and swallow it. Stick it in and swallow it. So as an adult, she had kind of learned to swallow some foods prior to chewing them or chewing them enough. Not healthy. Bless your heart, some of you may be doing that to yourself. You're severely limiting your own time with the Lord, so you don't have time to chew. And as a result, you might be taking in significant amounts of the word, but very little of it is assimilated into your life because you couldn't digest it well. You never really understood what it meant, though you read it and you stuffed it in your mouth, but you didn't give yourself time to chew and digest it. And so it was in and it was out. And what did it do to really change you or help you to grow or give you any sort of a spiritual stamina? It didn't. Now, when I talk about chewing on the Word of God, what am I talking about? I'm talking about meditation. Meditation. In Joshua 1 and verse number 8, God told Joshua, this book of the law, that was their manual, their national manual by which they were supposed to live, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Okay, then what? For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When? When you take time to meditate on this manual that I have given to you, day and night. Psalm 1:2 talks about the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And it goes on to say that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Yes, a picture of what we want to be. Where did it start? Meditation. Meditation in the Word of God. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Notice this, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Do you go to bed worried about the state of our country? You lay there thinking or burdened? Do you go to bed concerned about issues that confronted you today that'll be there to greet you tomorrow? Do you have questions with which you're wrestling? Has someone asked you advice and you're wondering what you can do to help? What's on your mind when you go to bed? Would it not be good to meditate on Him more? Bring those problems to Him and His word to those problems? Meditation, chewing. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Oh yeah, that sounds like a general good motto. That's great, sure. But what about when life takes sort of a southern turn? Note that this was the psalmist's response even in difficult times. Psalm 119:23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Psalm 119:78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Psalm 119:145-148, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. And you wonder why Psalms is the best book to go to for motivation and encouragement. But who wrote them? Well, at least in part, somebody who so wanted to see the Lord, somebody with such a relationship with the Word of God that he could write and be used of the Lord now, thousands of years later, or hundreds of years later, to be an encouragement. Lift him up. Don't you think God could use you if you meditated in his word, had a desire to know him? Growth takes time. Growth in body and growth in understanding. We attained our present height after years of growth. Rome wasn't built in a day, nor was a Christian made mature in a week. But it is not to be thought that time is synonymous with growth. For after so long, we can still be small, weak, and immature. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 again. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. Hebrews 5 and verse number 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. In other words, I expected more of you, rightfully so, but you're not where you should be. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to whom? Them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That phrase, by reason of use, is speaking to a habit. By reason of a habit, they habitually have exercised their discernment. They have had a habit of doing these things, and we need to have a habit of spending time, quality time, in God's Word. Number 6, and we're coming to a close, save the leftovers. In other words, save that thought for later. When you're done, keep a journal maybe. Or have a notepad handy. At the very least, a bookmark and a pencil or a highlighter. Remember where you left off and start there tomorrow. But keep the leftovers. And lastly, share the recipe. Share the recipe with others. Tell people how you prepared this meal and how delicious it was to you. Tell them the ingredients that you used. If the food did you any good, it'll eventually be evident in your spiritual health. Oh my goodness, I did a study on this. This was so moving. This was so exciting. I looked into this word, and I used this tool and this tool, and I got to thinking about that, and the Lord brought to mind this verse over here, and that spoke to me here because that said this, and that, man, that was exciting. Wow, just, oh, that study was great. Maybe you'll encourage your friends. Wow, she's really excited about the word. I can tell that she's really into that. That's great. You tell them what tools you used. In Psalm 81 and verse 10, God said to Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Listen to this. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, that we had a promise like that. Well, Matthew 5:6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But Matthew 7:7 says, he that seeketh, findeth. Because Proverbs in Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them which diligently seek him. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So much so that they seek the Lord, that they're waiting at the posts of his doors, that they're exercising some forethought and putting out a meal plan, putting in some prep time, and they're eating and they're chewing and they're digesting it and they're sharing it with their friends. They're going to be blessed. The Lord will reward those that diligently seek him. And where are they going to seek him? Can a man seek God without getting into his word? The very revelation of himself that he's preserved for us? Where else are we going to go? We've got to go to the word. Discipleship is a progression that is known. Thus, we should be asking, where in that progression am I? Where am I? If you want to put terms of growth on it, terms of diet, what are you eating? Have you grown? Do you still need stuff that digests? You say, Pastor, I'm new to the faith. Okay, good. You need that easily digestible stuff right away. You need some help along the way. That's good. But can we sit here for 20 and 30 and 40 years and still ask someone else to prepare our food for us and to process it ahead of time? We should not excuse abnormal carnality on the argument of growth takes time if we're merely remaining stagnant. What can I do today to improve my spiritual habits? What is the next step I need to take in properly preparing, digesting, or even sharing my spiritual food? These are questions we need to be asking.